Tri-City Tipsnet for Wednesday, December 9th, 2020. Welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located at the internet control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. Licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It can also be reached via Echolink. Look up the station Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. That's W1DX-R. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. Through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We'll ask you for your specific questions after everyone has checked in. The TIPS net has three sections. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, which I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be through the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and listen to see if someone else called at the same time you have. If no one has, then press the mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location and if you have a comment or a question. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club at TipsNet with Net Control KC1TWR. I will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And I know you didn't ask for it, but I do have one sort of comment or topic.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Dave and Preston, no questions or comments at this time.
Here is Whiskey 1 Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton. No questions. Back to the net.
Here is Kilo 0 Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh in Groton. No questions.
Victor, Steve, Coventry. No questions here.
Okay, net recognizes Kevin, KA6PDG, with either a comment or a topic. Dave, K1BCT, Chuck, W1FJW, Josh, K0JEB, and Steve, NK1V. Any further check-ins, please call now.
Good evening to the net. Hope all are well this evening. This is KA6PDG, and before I mention my topic, just a query, and you know, comment at your leisure there, Tim. Do you still want people to list if they have a question or topic or something on the first round? I noticed you haven't been asking for that, so I didn't know if you'd change the order of things. Anyway, that all aside, I was just tuning around the 75-meter band and heard some folks talking on a net, and I should probably know what net it was, but I don't remember. It's on 3975. They may still be going, or they may have wrapped up at the top of the hour. And they were talking about the northern lights being visible, the Aurora Borealis. Now, I didn't catch in the conversation, because I tuned in after the conversation was well-aged, whether it was tonight or some other night. I have to, if I had to make an educated guess, I'd say they were probably talking about tonight. So I'm curious if anybody knows. some of these folks were up north. I know the lady I heard talking about, she's in Vermont. I know her. So will they be visible down here in Connecticut? Somebody's probably Googling it as I speak, and that's awesome. And really more related to amateur radio. Has anybody ever experienced aurora effect? Or I believe it's called aurora curtain. And I'm not sure whether I have or not. I guess aurora curtain or aurora effect is usually like a watery sound is the best way to describe it, I think. And it's, again, just going on what I've heard, typically can occur on like 6 meters, 10 meters, I don't know, about 2 meters maybe. And I'm not sure about like 12 or 15, but I think it's more common on 6 meters than anywhere, if what I remember is correct. And if anybody else knows anything else about aurora effect or the aurora borealis, or if you're down south, the aurora australialis effect on ham radio signals, or if anybody's ever seen them, or if anybody's ever heard them. And the reason I ask that is I do recall listening to a talk show some years ago, and they were talking about the aurora. And supposedly, if you have a vivid enough or prolific enough display, you're really close, you're way far up north, say in Canada or something, that they can actually make a noise, and I think it was described as sort of a clicking noise. Now, again, I don't know if any of what I've just said is true, except I know there is an aurora effect on ham radio signals. So I just throw it out there if folks are interested in chatting, or if anybody knows when the northern lights are supposed to come south, as it were, and if they'll be visible in Connecticut. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
With a tip snap.
Detroit. Good evening to all. This is K1DCT. And from what I saw on the news, the local news, the aurora could be visible tonight, probably after 10 p.m. local time. So, I too have heard that you can hear it. So, although I'm not that familiar with it, I have personally never seen it. Would love to, but just haven't been, like the rest of my life, have not been in the right place at the right time. So, missed out on that. But that's really all I know about that. So we'll leave it there. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. I do want to relate this. I had heard something about an aurora in a discussion with my brothers earlier today. One of my brothers remarked that about 40 years ago, when he was a student at UConn, they went outside for some college fun activity, and somebody pointed up in the sky, and they could see an aurora borealis. He says it wasn't the biggest, best, or brightest he's ever seen, but it was definitely identifiable as an aurora borealis, with the colors and all of that. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, see what he thinks about all this. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the tip set.
Well, prognostications I read indicated that it would be hitting the atmosphere about now. Prime viewing time for Europe, but a little bit early for us. Won't get good till they've said 10 o'clock or so, and see what develops. That's about all I had on that subject. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, no worries, Chuck. Thank you very much. And we're at the point now, if there's anybody else that would like to join the tips net, please come with your call sign now.
Mike November, Jerry and Preston. Good evening, everyone.
This is Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Sierra, Rob and Griswold.
Recognizes Jerry, K1JMN, and Rob, I believe I got your call sign right, KB1RBS. Any further check-ins, please call now.
It's KB1RS, Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Sierra.
Thank you very much. I stand corrected. I have correctly put that down as KP1RS. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, gentlemen, we still have a couple of people to go through, and then we'll get to you on the first round of the tips net. Let's move on to Josh, see what he knows about the aurora and the possibility of it tonight, and what might have caused it, et cetera, et cetera. K0JEB, KC1TWR with the tips net.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Well, from the Space Weather Prediction Center, They're predicting that the G3 storm that happened on December, actually, that's happening tonight into tomorrow, will relatively make it possible to see the aurora borealis. I guess it's affected by the K index. I don't know too much about it other than I did a quick search on Google here, and they have a band area that shows it stretching the majority of Canada, Alaska, as far down as the Ohio Valley, and Connecticut is on the outskirts of that band for possibly viewing it tonight. I've never had a chance to even look for one, so I may go out there and try and see it. I'm sorry, I don't have any information about whether or not you can hear it. I'd definitely be interested in that, but I haven't found anything in my Google searching. So that's about all I have. SK0JB.
Learning a little bit from each other this evening. That's good. Next, we'll move on to Steve, NK1B. This is KC1TWR with the tips net.
NK1B. Yeah, the whole aurora thing is quite fascinating. I may or may not have caught a glimpse of it. I'm nothing that I would consider back. And I have been, although I have been on several occasions in the past decade or two, much further north than I am currently, either on the west coast of Canada or on the east coast. Dave is 100% right. It's all about being in the right place at the right time, and that has not occurred. I have little or no view to the north from my house, everything because I'm on the ridge, but I'm up and out around 4 o'clock, so I'm wondering how long the daylight will work, and I'll have to give a good look this morning, tomorrow morning, I should say, because I definitely will not be up at 10 o'clock tonight. But yeah, that's cool stuff. I've seen groups when there's ones that they know that are common, like groups of like hikers or RVers and stuff that'll actually travel up to the up north and just to view them. And I bet they know if it makes noise, but I don't. I have heard that also, but it's kind of cool. Back to that NK1B.
But I won't have much of a view either. It's cloudy down here this evening, plus the fact that where I live in the city, there's so much light pollution, I'm sure I won't be able to see. But let's see if Jerry thinks about the possibility of the aurora borealis coming down low enough for us to see down here. He lives kind of out in Preston. Maybe it's dark up there. He can look to the north later on tonight. K1JMM, KC1TWR with a tip slip. But then we'll come back to later if we don't. K1JMN, KC1TWR with the tips net. Okay, we'll come back to him around on the second loop and see if he has returned. In the meantime, Rob, what are your thoughts about all this CME and aurora borealis? KB1RS, KC1TWR with the tips net.
Yeah, I read an article about it this morning over breakfast, and it was interesting. Today I was able to get out and activate three different parks for POTA, and it was interesting to see how it was impacting propagation, because on the one hand, you would get phenomenal distance. I was hitting California on 20 meters in a mobile setup, but on the other hand, you could have a great signal 1 second and then absolutely nothing a minute later. So, you know, clearly the higher radiation is has benefits, pros and cons. So as far as the Aurora Borealis goes, I've seen it before when I was up north on a submarine, so saw it from out the ocean. I live up in Griswold, so maybe I'll be able to take a look at it, go out later, check on the horses in the barn, and see if we see anything. But if I'm able to pick something up, then I'll let you guys know if I'm able to join the net next week. But that's all I got for thoughts. Back to Nextrol.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Steve. Question. Thank you, Rob. Sorry, I had some other thought and it destroyed the first thought. Okay, talking about Aurora Borealis and CMEs and CME events and the possible damage they can cause, they definitely affect the GPS as well as radio signals. One of the topics I was thinking about for today was, if nobody had a question or a topic, which thank you, Kevin, for bringing this up, it's a good one, my topic was slightly tied to it, which is that the microwave oven in most people's houses can be used as an emergency Faraday cage if you want to protect your electronics. Unplug it, throw whatever you want to protect inside of it, and I believe you effectively have a Faraday cage. Now, we'll find out what other people think of that. But we'll go right around to the top of the list again and see what Kevin thinks about the replies to his question or his topic that he brought up for it. And we'll go proceed with that. KA6PDG, KC1TWR with the tips net.
Ah, there we go. Turn that up, Kevin. KA6PDG in the tips net. And I'm just going to recycle here. All right. Good comments. Thank you, everybody. I just didn't know if anybody had any firsthand experiences radio-wise with it and so on. And then there's just the fun aspect of seeing it, hearing it, smelling it, whatever. I never heard that you could smell it. That was a joke. But, yeah, I guess if you want to see it, you need a real dark sky. Although there have been rare instances from my reading that indicate, very rare indeed, that sometimes it can be seen during the day way up north, up by Santa Claus's house. Boy, he's going to enjoy them tonight, huh? Yeah, I forgot about that. He'll be able to save on the light bill for the workshop, because he'll have the northern lights. Anyway, and I've heard that usually the Aurora Borealis, and maybe the same down south, I'm not sure, is green. But you do get other colors in there, and that has something to do with the gases in the atmosphere being ionized or whatever, and I think some of it was nitrogen or hydrogen or something. But sometimes when you do get the blues and reds and stuff, that has to do with the content of the atmosphere. But anyway, yep, just something I was curious about. I'm always fascinated with science and astronomy, and that is a very close cousin to radio, or maybe a brother to radio. So there you go. And the other thing I was just thinking about is I was in CUSO with the station this afternoon on 40 meters. And I haven't taken time. I just woke up from a nice winter's nap. But I understand that during December is something called YOTA, Youth on the Air. So there's another possible discussion point. I have nothing further, Tim, but thanks, everybody, for the comments. And maybe I'll step out on the back porch tonight and see if I can see the northern lights. K6 KA6PDG.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kevin. And next we'll move on to Dave, K1DCT. It's KC1TWR with a tip snap.
All right, very good. This is Kevin, K1DCT. Thanks, Kevin, for bringing this up. Like I said, I did see it on the local news. And, you know, as I think back, I think I went to school with an Aurora Borealis. I think her family owned a pizza joint in town. And I can say she had quite an effect on me, but, let's just say she didn't feel the same. Kidding, of course, just playing around a little of my extremely odd humor. But, yeah, good topic. And, you know, it's always, like Kevin said, astronomy, science, magic, and radio. They kind of all go together pretty well. And that's about all I've got. Back to that, K1DCT.
Just as a side note, one webpage I found quite a while ago, which is at the Alaska University, is actually a camera pointed straight up at the sky in Alaska, and it's only operational during night, because during the daytime, in theory, you get too much light, and that's at AllSky, A-L-L-S-K-Y, dot G-I, let me make sure it's an I. Yeah, allsky.ti.alaska.edu. Allsky.ti.alaska.edu. That's kind of neat because it shows just the view going straight up. Okay, let's move on next to Chuck, W1FKW. It's KC1TWR with a tip snap.
Well, I don't think I can add anything further. The colors are the chemicals. Green is, if I remember right, is mostly oxygen under a low pressure. The reds, I believe, might have been nitrogen, and there's another color when oxygen's under higher pressure, when the stuff gets low in the atmosphere. So really can't help anyone. Back to net, W1FJW.
That was helpful enough. It gave us the idea that different pressures on oxygen can produce different colors, something I had not known before. Okay, we'll move on to Josh, K0JEV. This is KC1TWR with a tip snap.
KZero JB. Tim, real quick, I had some interruption here. What was the device that you had mentioned that you could use as a makeshift a Faraday cage?
Not only makeshift, but very, very quickly, as opposed to getting metal tape and putting it around a metal trash can and all that. My thought was to use a microwave oven. Unplugged, of course, and turned off, but a microwave oven, in my mind, should provide the same effects as a Faraday cage. Back to you.
Okay, that's what I thought you had said. I can tell you from personal experience, I have tested that theory, and if you try it with a cell phone or a Foxbox transmitter, transmitter inside the microwave, I can tell you that it does not stop the signals from radiating out. I don't have a way of testing to see if the signals would radiate in, but I did try both a cell phone and a handy walkie-talkie transmitter. So in case anyone was wondering, it's a fun little experiment, and I highly recommend trying marshmallows in the microwave. Definitely fun. The kids get a kick out of it. But I'm going to go ahead and secure. I need to get back upstairs to baby duty. Everybody have a good evening. 7-3, this is K0JB.
Thank you for joining us this evening, Josh, and I know you need to go about and take care of very important business for the newest member of your family. So thank you for joining us this evening for what you could. Okay, we'll move on to Steve, NK1B. This is KC1TWR with the TipsNet.
She said, nope. So much the right place at the right time. I'm not really sure how that works, but I've heard about them up, you know, being very visible up there. And also, while mentioning northern places, and it's a long ways away, Kevin may actually be interested in this. I plan another trip back up to Newfoundland. We don't know if we're going to make it this summer, possibly the following summer. But one of my intentions is, from the Parks on the Air standpoint, is to activate at Marconi Station, which is on Signal Hill in Newfoundland. And I've even gone so far as to join the local radio club, which maintains the station there. And I may or may not be using their station. I will use the park. But it's just an interesting little future trip I have planned. And, of course, I'll get plenty of notification because it sure would be cool to get some contacts with some people from this area, you know, local people like Kevin and such, and all you guys, any other people that are interested in parks on the air. But it just came to my mind because we were talking about northern places and northern lights. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Well, my thought with your wife saying that she had not seen them, it could be one of those things that if you grow up with it, you don't even think about it, and it isn't something special per se. So, I mean, I think about all the different colors we see down here just from the moisture in the atmosphere with sunrises and sunsets, or even down in Florida, especially in the Keys. So it could be that she just didn't recognize it for what it was at the time. But I could be wrong, too. You know, she might have won the lottery of never being outside at the right time. Okay, and good luck with your plans for your trip back up to Newfoundland. That should be very interesting. Okay, let's see if Jerry has returned, if he has any thoughts about Aurora Borealis, about the CMEs, the effect on radio, or radios put inside of microwaves. K1JMN, KC1TWR with the TipsNet.
Okay, no worries, Rob. Work always
can be very, very much a distraction, but fortunately usually a paying distraction, so that is good. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. If anybody else would like to join this evening with any questions you may have, doesn't have to be about Aurora Borealis, could be about anything, especially related to amateur radio. Please come with your call sign now. I think we have enough time for another round. Here's the based on my thought about the microwave, which I thank Josh very much for telling us he's already done that experiment. And now I'm curious whether the shielding on the microwave is designed only for the high microwave frequencies, and therefore the lower frequencies, like the 2 meter and so forth, might get through. But it raised another question in my mind. What other household objects have people used to help further their amateur radio hobby? And I don't mean a pencil and paper in order to do a logbook. I'm thinking creative uses, something around the house or something around the garage that was thoroughly intended for something else, but you found another use for it, something that, whether it was for a radio power supply, a antenna, something that helped in getting you on the air in your vehicle or maybe out in the field. What might you have that comes to mind? Let's start with Kevin, see if anything has popped into his mind. He's unfortunately the first one I'm asking. Everybody else gets a little extra time to think about it. KA6PDG, KC1TWR with the tips net.
Well, that's what I get for checking in first, you know, it's my own fault. I have to think fast, but for me, thinking at all is the same as thinking fast. Let's see, we'll go to your question first, and it's a good question, I like it. I don't know, speakers obviously, because I have speakers around because I'm into audio stuff. I don't know, the only other thing that really comes to mind, and it may not be the same avenue of thought that you're going down, but trees. Of course, I don't have any of those in the house. They're outside the house. And actually, technically, when I think about it, right now I don't have any trees on my landlord's property. That is correct. The nearest tree is actually on a neighbor's property, and so on and so forth. So, there probably are some other things I'm not thinking of, but trees might be an answer, not necessarily of the genre that you're looking for. Let's see here. The Faraday cage. And Josh's remarks made me wonder. and you sort of danced around this a minute ago, Tim. Can something be a Faraday cage on certain frequencies but not on other frequencies? And you mentioned the very high frequencies, the gigahertz range that microwave ovens communicate in. And then, of course, my mind went south, and I find myself wondering, would a microwave oven be a good Faraday cage for baby Faradays, but when they grow up and get bigger, you have to get a larger something to house them? And are Faradays related to ferrets at all? But I probably, this is a good indicator that I should pass it back to Net Control. KA6PDG.
Well, Kevin, thank you. You've raised a very good question about the mating habits and the lifestyle of ferrets and Faradays. Very interesting indeed. Okay, let's move on and see if the next person has thought of anything. I think he might have. He's that kind of a utilitarian type of person in my mind. I could be wrong. K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
This is K1DCT. And yes, Faradays and ferrets, probably throwing a couple of Maxwells and his silver hammer. Let's see how many people get that one. Let's see, what do I want to comment on here? Yeah, the Faraday cage, I don't know, I would think that a proper Faraday cage would pretty much keep out everything. So a makeshift one, well, I guess you get what you get. As far as adapting things, yes, I have been known to coin the phrase MacGyver a few things. And something that comes up offhand is fishing weights and cheap Chinese sockets. I use both of those things as good, we'll call them heavies, you know, things that throw over a branch, and, you know, if it gets caught up and it's gone, well, you cut it loose and get another one. So that's something that comes up off the top of my head for hanging antennas and so forth, whether you're shooting them with a slingshot or just giving them a good old David and Goliath type toss. So that's certainly one thing. I have a lot of tools, and I quite often use them in unique manners. So I think you know, a little MacGyvering is a good thing. Back to net, K1DCT.
I thought I heard somebody else there out there for a moment. Was there somebody else who was trying to use the repeater or make a comment? Come with your call sign now, please. Okay, maybe it was just propagation or something. Okay, that's a good comments there, Dave, and I've lost my share of fishing weights as well. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, see if he's ever used anything for its not intended purpose. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
Caps about an inch and a half long, and I can, and I
I put a ring pilot in it, and I can adjust the weight of that. I use the sand I have, I guess it's like play sand or whatever I keep to sand the steps and stuff in the winter. So I use that. And also, I scavenged, went rifling through all my old fishing stuff, and I've scavenged every closed fishing rail, which is good for either the slingshot style or the pneumatic style shooter-upper. And now what else? Oh, there was another thing, which is actually derives from some ideas of Chuck that I use quite often, is once the said dipole or whatever you're putting up is up, and if you're using some sort of weighted pulley system to keep tension and leave some freedom for Mother Nature, the washer fluid jug or milk jug with the marble chips, the first time I pulled out of the garden, and then I actually went and bought a bag just for that purpose, but they seem to fit in the throat of the jug pretty well, and they're not too painstaking to sort and put in there, and they're inexpensive, so yeah, there's a lot of things if you look around end up using. But it's a pretty interesting little topic. There's something else I want to say too, and I thought I wrote it down here, but can't find it, so it's probably for the benefit of the group that I don't say it. Back to Nat, NK1B.
Some good ideas. Okay, let's move on to Jerry, see if he's back, see if he's ever used something for the amateur radio hobby that it was not originally intended to be used for. K1JMN, KC1TWR with the tip set.
Wrapped up and now I'm just playing with some amateur radio logging stuff, but the one thing that comes to mind is T-posts. We have a farm, and so I use T-posts to put up fencing on a regular basis, and I was looking for something to make a portable antenna mount for taking to field day and other situations for clamping my chameleon vertical on, and figured out pretty quickly that a T-post was easy to slam into the ground pretty much anywhere you wanted to go and gave a fairly stable platform for attaching the clamp from the antenna. So I've kind of made that a staple for going on portable ops. Working on some ideas for something that will mount to my truck so I don't have to slam that in if I go to a park activation, especially since a lot of them I'm just sitting in a parking lot or something like that. But T-posts are a handy little tool. And of course I've played with the fishing weights like everybody else. But that's what I got. Back to Neck Control.
Okay, good idea there, Rob. I like that. Okay, and Rob, if you could, after the net, if you're available, if you can just hang around, I do want to have a quick chat with you about something I heard about yesterday that you might find of interest if you don't already know. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. We've been through three rounds. I think at this time we're going to start thinking about closing up the first round of the tips net. We have three rounds, or three sections. The first is what we've been doing. The second is announcements and items of interest. The third is cell swapper looking for amateur radio items. So before we start section two of the announcements, are there any additional check-ins or crosstalk or comments? Please call now.
KA6PDG, very quick. A very quick item.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
I was surprised nobody mentioned potatoes, but I have a feeling one or two people might have been thinking about them and didn't mention them, but similar to the tools, the potato has been used many, many times, and some people even have potato guns. The other thing is speaker wire. For those of you, Dave, who have old Pioneer or Blaupunk or Radio Shack speaker system set up around your house for listening to music, speaker wire makes a pretty darn good receive antenna. I haven't tried transmitting on the stuff, so I'm not going to recommend that. But if you're looking to put up a quick shortwave listening antenna or AM listening antenna, and you don't have anything else, way tear your sound system apart and use the speaker wire. KU6PDG, and you can put me on your announcements list if you feel like it, Tim.
Okay, very good, Kevin. I will put you on the announcement list. No, it's a good idea about the speaker wire and bringing up about potatoes. Any other check-ins or comments before we go to section two? Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TipsNet, and this is for announcements about upcoming events or items of interest. I already know Kevin has one item, so let me let him go first, and then I'll call for anybody else that has an announcement. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, just want to remind folks, because a lot of you have heard and seen the announcement. I put it on the Raycon Reflector this morning, but we want to get the word out, so share it with your friends about the Christmas Eve Net. Christmas Eve Net on the N1NW Norwich repeater system. That's going to be December 24th, oddly enough. Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock. Very casual. It's for everybody to check in, share a thought or a reflection or a quick Christmas or holiday anecdote, I should say. Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever. Or if folks just want to check in and say hi and don't want to say anything profound, that's absolutely fine, too. That's 8 o'clock Christmas Eve, and it's on the Norwich repeater system. And you also can get through on Echolink, which is node number 711268, or November Alpha 1, Charlie November dash R. And, Tim, at some point I want to get from you the email address. I know I should have it, but I don't know what to type in to make my address book pull it up for the SwapNet up in Rhode Island. I want to send the announcement about the Christmas Eve net to them, or you could send it for me, KA6PDG.
Website is riswap.net, and the email address is riswap. Hang on a second, just lost it. riswapnet@cox.net.
Got it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much. Saves everybody a lot of grief and aggravation. Well, maybe not so much grief, but anyhow, any other, I do want to make sure everyone is aware that there is a amateur radio test session this Saturday at the East Great Plains Firehouse from 9 to 10:30. Details are on the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club website, which is TriCityArc.net. And the reason I'm still bringing that up, even though we're only 3 days away, is that just yesterday we had another person sign up. So we still have a few spots open if somebody's interested. And just make sure they go to the website, and that'll tell them who to contact and all the other gory details. So anyone else have any announcements or items of interest that they would like to bring to the net, please call now. Going to finish up the second section, move into the third and final section of the TIPSnet. The third section is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio related items? If so, please call now.
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango.
Bravo 1, Romeo's here.
I have a few items that from various sources, but first we'll go to Dave, K1DCT. Please proceed.
All right, very good. This is K1DCT, and Tim, I think you jumped in there early. KB1RS also wanted to get in here. So what I am looking for, and I know a lot of you aren't probably old enough to remember this stuff, but I am looking for an ICOM, either a 2AT or a 02AT. No battery needed, just hopefully a working one. Thinking about building my own Fox box here to join in the fun. So I have an old battery case for that fits either one of those radios. And there's also a Radio Shack version whose model number I can't come up with off the top of my head. But if somebody's got one kicking around that obviously never going to use again, let me know. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, very good, Dave. I'm sure if anybody has one that they're not using, they'll get in touch, or they might spread the word. They might know somebody else who might have one and have them contact you. Okay, Rob, over to you, KB1RS, KC1TWR with the TIPSnet.
Yeah, I was going to let everybody know that I have an MFJ 259 Bravo antenna analyzer. I got it, I don't know, a year or so ago. Something is loose inside it somewhere. It's a tech special. When I tried to power it up, I put all new batteries in it today. I don't have a plug for it, but I've got all new, put all new batteries in it. It wouldn't power on, and last time I used it, it was on the fritz, but I've since gotten a nano VNA, and so it's just sitting in the closet. So if anybody's interested in it as a tech special, it's available for free, and I'll, since Tim has already got arrangements to get something else for me, I'll give him first dibs if he wants to get it tomorrow morning. I'll bring it. Otherwise, if anybody else wants it, let me know.
Okay, very good. You also mentioned at last night's meeting about a Yaesu radio. Is that still available? And if you don't have the details, I did write them down so I can mention it.
Yeah, this is, it's not my rig, but I know of a Yaesu that I found out about in late November that's available up in the Ashford area, I think is where the guy was located. I looked up his call sign. He has a Yaesu 891. He said it was hardly used, never mobile, used for testing a new antenna. He wanted to install it mobile, but never got around to it. He's asking $525 for the rig, and his call sign is K1DSK. You can look him up on QRZ if you're interested.
Before I go any further, since I do have some items to read, anybody else have any other comments or questions either about this or anything else, please call now.
K1DCT.
K1DCT, please proceed.
Yes, thank you. I'd be interested in that MFJ analyzer. The price is right on the money. So, and if it, you know, we can make it work, fine. If not, good entertainment. Back to that, K1DCT.
Make your contact and arrangements off either after the net or outside of the net. I do want to get on to, just after 8, so I do want to get on to the other part. Harrison Salt, N1FAM, is doing a little bit of house cleaning. He has a Tektronix T935 two-channel oscilloscope, one probe with a hard copy manual. His comment is, what it is worth to you is good with me. He also has 100 or so QSL cards from those who contacted the Nautilus N1S and requested an N1S QSL card during the past few years of the museum ship's weekend at Nautilus, free for the taking. He also has 1 year or so of QST hard copy magazines, free for the taking. He also has a MFJ 1214PC multi-mode computer interface. This does fax, RTTY, ASCII, CW, with a hard copy of manuals and programming software on floppy and CD. He says probably good for an older rig that does not have built-in features. What it's worth to you is good for me. Last item he has is a Windows XP tower, operational and complete, has an 80 gig hard drive, free for the taking. Anybody who is interested in that can contact Harrison N1FAM. Okay, last call for any comments about the swap cell looking for items. Please call now. For housekeeping, I did want to make a comment that this net is primarily for people to ask questions related to amateur radio operations, not anything dealing with amateur radio. If there are no questions, then certainly we go into topics, comments, things of that nature. And I believe that's why in the script, it says on the, during a portion of it, it goes down and says, let me find it here. We'll go down through the list for comments and questions. That's part of what it says. Another part of it, and I've misplaced where it says that, but it talks about it's to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. So that's the main purpose, and that's why that's read that way in the script. If people feel that that might should be changed, then that's certainly open for discussion, and we can do that at another time. Okay, any last, I guess I've already done the last comments and questions, so I guess we should go into the closing. I don't have any bar stools like Dave has. I only have one office chair, but I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. and that being Kevin, Dave, Chuck, Josh, Steve, Jerry, and Rob, and all those who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Hopefully you found some good knowledge and or enjoyment out of it. We also like to thank W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater. We'd like to thank Joe, K1IKE, for the EchoLink connection, which is Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo, W1DX-R, and Kevin, KA6PDG, for recording these sessions, which are available online at am1700.org/tipsnet. That's Alpha Michael 1700, decimal.org/tipsnet. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the Red Cross office, but currently on Zoom sessions on their website. The meetings are held at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not, which is good on the Zoom session because you don't need a license to join. Information about the club can also be found at their website, www.tricityarc.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone a good evening and 73.